Thank you, Brother Dave, for sharing. I was challenged with what was read. He prayed that we would be examining ourselves, and I think that is, this service has been called already an examination service. I believe it's a good thing for each of us to examine our lives. We're thinking of it in a spiritual sense. But in life, there's many things that get examined. Something that is rather common is a medical examination. It's required in many situations. I think most of us, if we get on an airplane, we're hopeful that the pilots are in good health. And I'm sure there's some medical examinations that they need to take regularly so that they are. Same goes with bus drivers and tractor-trailer drivers. They need to have medical examinations. But there's also many people that take a medical examination voluntarily. They get themselves screened. They think, well, it makes sense to discover if there's something that's seriously wrong. I think I got this a couple weeks ago. And it says, a personal health screen to help your doctor identify many serious but treatable health issues. Quest Diagnostics. Is this most important? They have chemistry tests. They have dozens of tests. And say, this is going to help discover if there's something wrong with you. They're saying it's a smart choice to help prevent health problems. Is that most important this evening, that I know that there's not some silent killer in my body here? Maybe there's an aneurysm in my neck. I don't know it. Is that really important? More important than a physical health screen is a spiritual health screen. And I thank you for coming this evening, to taking the courage to think about our life. It can be scary to do that, but it's a good thing. This test here costs $55. It says if you can add a few more tests, and you can add another $70. Some tests apparently cost more. But this evening, we can look into God's Word for a few minutes for free. Just for free. Doesn't cost us a penny. And I will say this evening that a spiritual health screen is much more important than a physical one. It really is. We like to look at 10 different things. Shouldn't be a real long message, but I think there's a few things that we really need to think about this evening. The first one is the heart. Open your Bibles to Psalms 51. You know, if someone has a bad heart, will exercising, will taking vitamin C, will that take care of that problem? No, I don't think it will. If somebody has a bad heart, he starts running down the road, he's maybe going to make his problem worse yet. Your heart this evening is very important. It's the real us. It's not who we're projecting who we are, but our heart is the real core of who we are. And what we see from people's lives is what's spilling out of the heart, the wellspring. Who we are is very important. Psalm 51 verse 10 says, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. This is King David praying, create in me a clean heart. King David's heart was wrong. It wasn't clean. You think about that story. We read that part of that in family devotions. You think about David. He had so much. He was so blessed. But he wanted just a little more than what God had for him. And his heart devised a plan to get what he wanted. He schemed a plan. And he schemed it well. It seemed to work very well. Uriah died. But in 2 Samuel verse 12, chapter 12, God saw it. The thing that David had done displeased God. God was not pleased at all. And we have the story that God sent Nathan the prophet to David. And Nathan gave him a little story and said about this rich man had a lot of sheep, a lot of possessions. And he got a visitor. And instead of using his own lamb, he went and took the neighbor's lamb. It was his only lamb. It was a lamb that he had in his house. And it was like a pet to him. And he took it. Killed it for dinner for his company. And what did David have to say? Well, the Bible says that David's anger was greatly kindled against the man. And he said to Naaman, "As the Lord liveth, a man that hath done this thing shall surely die." Because he had a number of other things, he said. What did Nathan say? Nathan said to David, four words, "Thou art the man. Thou art the man." And then we have Psalms 51 as David's cry of repentance. As a result of him being the man. We have, it's very good, meaningful chapter. Crying to God for mercy. Crying that God would wash him. "For I acknowledge my transgression, my sin is ever before thee. Against thee, thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins. Blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." David understood that his real problem was his heart. It was a heart issue. His heart had gotten dirty. And he prayed to God that, "God, clean my heart. That's why I did that. That's why he had Uriah killed." His heart had become dirty. "Create in me a clean heart." You know, brethren and sisters, this evening, Christians' hearts can get dirty. They can get dirty. Somebody mentioned this evening how, maybe in the prayer, this world is bad. It's getting worse. It's dirty. But we're called this evening, brothers and sisters, to be clean in this filthy world. We really are. And my question to you this evening is, your heart clean? Is my heart clean this evening? Or should I be writing a psalm as David did? The second one, this is a spiritual health screen. Is hunger and thirst. An appetite of a newborn is a good sign. The newborn is born and we're into day two or three and there hasn't been an appetite. It's alarming. Something is wrong. It's a good sign of someone that is recovering from trauma or a major surgery. You're the cancer patient that stops eating. Not a good sign. Not a good sign. After a few days, you get hospice in because this person is dying. They're not eating. Psalm 63, verse 1 says, O God, thou art my God, early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee, my flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. Brethren and sisters, this problem of a dry, thirsty land has been around a long time. This world doesn't meet our needs. It doesn't. It's only God that does that. The things of this world do not satisfy. A spiritual appetite is a good sign of a Christian. It really is. It's a bad sign when a Christian doesn't have a spiritual appetite. Christian needs. He needs good stuff to feed his never-dying soul. He does. And his Bible is precious. He loves it. He underlines in it. He puts little stars here and there. He may write in it. He meditates on the truth. He embraces the living book. And you know what it does? It gives him inspiration. It gives him direction. It gives him strength. Strength to live in this dirty, filthy world. That's what this Bible does to the Christian. But what if he doesn't have a hunger and a thirst for this book? Then there's a problem. Something is wrong. Because a real Christian has a hunger and thirst for righteousness. And God feels him. We raise the question, where's our hunger and thirst tonight? Brethren and sisters, there's something that gives us an uptick. There's something that gives us energy. And I ask you, what is that in your life? If it's something other than this book and your prayer life and your love to God, then there's something wrong. There's something wrong. You're hungering and thirsting after something other than God. Thirdly is exercise. A couch potato will learn sometime that there's a penalty for enjoying inactivity. There's a penalty for enjoying inactivity. He may go to the doctor and he may say, you know what? You need to start with insulin. You need insulin. You've got a problem. You've been drinking too many sodas and sitting on the sofa too much. As a result of his lifestyle choices, there can be a problem. Every Christian has been given talents to use and to bless the kingdom of God. In Matthew chapter 25, we have Jesus' words, a parable of the talents. Verse chapter 25, 15 and 16. And unto one he gave five talents, unto one he gave five talents, to another two, and to another one, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the five talents went and traded with the same, and made them other five talents. And likewise, he that had received two, he also gained another two. But he that had received one went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. Every Christian has been given some talents to use and to bless the kingdom of God. And this parable is so forceful because it illustrates this so well, that everybody's been given something. And everyone needs to make a choice. And there was one here that he received something of his Lord, something that he was to do and to bless and make more. And he just dug it, buried it, and didn't use it, and didn't make more. And he's described here in verse 26. The Lord's answer and said unto him, "Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath." He's in verse 30. "And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." The unprofitable servant is the one that was given a talent and buried it. And the question for us this evening is, are we trending upward or downward in the use of the talents and the resources that we've been given? We've all been given something by the good hand of our God. He's saying, "Well, this is for you. And you have this little span of life to use it however you wish. You can go to Hollywood and use those talents there. Or you can be part of my kingdom and part of the Church of Jesus Christ and do your level best giving those talents in that way." God gave those things to us. I believe this is a question to help us understand where our spiritual health is this evening. What are we doing with the talents that God gave us? Which one are we in the story? Fourthly is vision. Vision. You know, a driver with poor vision is a big hazard. The Bible says in Proverbs 29:18, "Where there is no vision, the people perish." And if we look in Hebrews 11, in the faith chapter, we see a list of individuals that had a vision, spiritual vision. Particularly, we think of Moses in Hebrews 11, verse 27. "By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible." That's why Moses was used of God. He had a vision. He saw God. Do we have a vision this evening? If we are Christian with little vision, with little conviction, you know, just sort of bouncing along, not really know where we stand. If that's you this evening, you are in trouble. You're in serious trouble. Yeah, we're just like, if we're like that, then we're just like that driver that has poor vision. What's going to happen, brother, sister, if you don't have a spiritual vision, you're being haphazard in your life. You're going to start having spiritual fender benders. You're going to fail here, fail there. And after a while, I can guarantee you, it won't really bother you. It won't really bother you. That's how sin works. Sin always hardens. It always hardens. And it's really a slippery slope to becoming a spiritual fatality. I'd ask you this evening, brother, sister, and myself, do I have a spiritual vision? Do we have a spiritual vision for God's people here on earth? Do I have a spiritual vision for my family? Do I have a spiritual vision for this church right here, Leola Mennonite Church? Do I have a vision for what it should be in this dark and sinful world? Without vision, the people perish. Brother, sister, this evening, if we're losing our vision, we're going the wrong way. We're going the wrong way. Spiritual health screen. Fifthly is the mind. You know, a healthy mind is something to be very thankful for. This evening, I think everyone under the sound of my voice has been blessed with a healthy mind. Something to be very thankful for. The Bible uses the word mind in Philippians 2. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Jesus, in Christ Jesus. Romans chapter 8, verse 6. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. There's not a lot of options here. Why isn't there a couple options? It just says, over here, carnally minded, death. Spiritually minded, life. Can we put everybody's mind in that box? You know, most of us wish for a better mind, a better physical mind. Be nice to be less forgetful. Be nice to be able to think faster. Be nice to retain more of this book in my mind, to just know where to turn for what you want to look for and find. Those things would be very nice, to have just a better physical mind. But really, that's not nearly as important as a spiritual mind. A spiritual mind. You know, an uneducated man that may be sitting there in El Salvador, Nicaragua. We saw some pictures recently I showed of just very poor people with just a shack of a house and a couple generations living there. Probably can't read or write. But by God's grace, if that man has a spiritual mind, he'll be okay. He'll be all right. He'll be all right. Even though he may not know a lot, may not know how to read or write, may not know much history, but if he has a spiritual mind, he will be okay, and he'll be ushered into eternity to be with God forever. Spiritual mind or carnal mind? Spiritual health screen, which is mine? Is God satisfied with my mind? And I believe we all, each one of us this evening, it's either trending one way or the other. Either my mind is trending more spiritual or more carnal. I wish it wasn't that way, but it is that way. I don't think we're people that just stay at one spot. We either trend. We're moving. We're moving one way or another. And you know why that is? It's because of God and Satan. There's forces there, God and Satan. We're either being influenced by one or the other. So this evening, each of us, you look at your life, this last half year, the last year, you're trending one way or the other. I just plead with you, be honest. Be honest with your mind. Is it spiritual? Has it been trending more spiritual? Or has it been trending more carnal? There's many other questions we can probably, you know, it's the world and it's the church. It's God's people. Where's my mind going? What's happening in my mind? But is God satisfied with my mind? Sixthly, is vocal cords. Someone shared with me just a few weeks ago, he shared that his father was injured in World War II. And if I recall right, he said he couldn't talk for a couple years. I knew his father, but then he got his voice back, but he only had one vocal cord, just one vocal cord. But he could talk, and I, remembering his father, I wouldn't have thought of it, that he would have had his vocal cords injured. Vocal cords. We each have them. We talk. Psalm 66, verse 16. Come and hear, all ye that fear God, and I will declare what he hath done for my soul. I will declare what God hath done for my soul. Am I using my vocal cords to bless the kingdom of God? Fits with what was read in our decrees. We said here that if members give no evidence of a burden for the lost, they should be challenged as the genuineness of their Christian commitment. So we're saying that if a person is right with God and is born again here, there's going to be a connection up here to his vocal cords. He's going to have something to say. What type of vibrations are coming from me? Is it vibrations of anger or negativity coming from me? Or is it declaring what God has done for my soul? I did some business with two black men today. They were from Baltimore, and they're both church leaders. But I was listening as I was working there. I heard one say, he said, when I got saved. Yeah, they drove from Baltimore, and they were still having a good time talking about the Lord, talking about church. And the one said, when I got saved, and he went on to, that's a sign of somebody that's alive. You know, a spiritual, healthy Christian will use his vocal cords to honor God. He will. The question is, have we been? Have we been? Or do those... Are the Mennonites, do they outshine us? The black Baptists that can say, when I was saved, this is what happened. Seventhly is immunity. Immunity is, look at that in the Webster, it says, being able to resist a particular disease. Being able to resist a particular disease. You know, someone with a low immune system, we know what happens to them. Yeah, they pick up everything that comes along. And we may be told, well, they shouldn't be visited because they have a low immune system. They'll pick up everything they get exposed to. Each of us this evening has a working immune system. If we wouldn't, it would be kind of dangerous to be here this evening. Because we have an immune system that fights things off. To not have that would be very serious. In 1 John chapter 5, verse 4, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. The Christian's immunity is that he can overcome the world. You see? You get the connection? A Christian with no immunity is very dangerous because he's going to pick up everything from the world. But a Christian that has immunity, he's able to resist. And that's what this is saying here. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. If I'm not an overcomer this evening, and I've been living defeat, we can ask, raise the question, am I born of God? For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. It's a statement. It's not a question. The Christian doesn't pick everything, you know, doesn't pick up every worldly thing that's going around because he's a Christian. He finds victory through faith in Jesus Christ. You know, a weak Christian, a Christian without immunity, he doesn't stand. He just doesn't stand. He doesn't stand against wrong music. He doesn't stand against foolish communication with his phone. He doesn't stand against movies. He doesn't stand against worldly entertainment. He doesn't stand against worldly dress. He looks again. He can't stand. He doesn't stand against those things that we're asking a commitment to our standards. There's things that we have outlined as this is worldly. We don't want to dress like that. We don't want to be like that. A Christian without immunity doesn't keep those commitments. Spiritual health screen. Am I a Christian that has some immunity? Can I stand? Can I stand? Eighthly is reflex. You know, it's a sign of a normal, what we call an involuntary response, and we've seen that. Doctor takes their little hammer and hits the knee, and it moves involuntarily. And we could raise the question, what's our involuntary response? When there's something evil and somebody takes the name of the Lord in vain. We see the undress of today, the evil of today. Is there just a repulsion and a sort of an involuntary response? Oh, this is not right. This is wrong. That's a reflex that I believe is a sign that you're on the right track, that you have some spiritual health. Ninthly is healing. You know, if a body doesn't heal from injuries, it can become very serious. Even such a thing as a bed sore can become very serious, and they may need surgery to try to help it heal because infection will set in. Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 22. Return, ye backsliding children, and I will heal your backslidings. Behold, we come unto thee, for thou art the Lord our God. Return, ye backsliding children, and I will heal your backsliding. I think of Matthew 18, when I think of healing. You're in this world of life. We get injured. We get injured. We get hurt. People hurt us. Many times, not intentionally, but they hurt us. Are we finding healing? Are those injuries that have been done to us, have we been healed? We talk about that this evening, whether we have peace with our fellow man. If there's peace, then there's been healing. There's been forgiveness. It's very important that we find healing when we are injured. And we have that in Matthew 18. And the last verse there is, so likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. It doesn't matter how wrong they were, how right we were. We need to forgive. Your peaceful relationships at work, at home, at church is only possible by forgiving trespasses. Forgiving trespasses. You know, we've all been injured some way, somehow along life's journey. And my question is, have all your old injuries healed? Have they healed? It's very important. If your old injuries have not healed, then your spiritual health is in very poor condition. That's a requirement to get to heaven, to forgive. Forgive every injury. Doesn't matter all the details and how it happened. They were out of their place. If they hurt you, you need to forgive. Tenthly is, and lastly is, vital signs. If you look up, it's in the Webster's, these two words, vital signs. It's called pulse rate, respiratory rate, body temperature, and often blood pressure are of a person. Pulse rate, respiratory rate, body temperature, and often blood pressure of a person. They call that vital signs. You know, emergency personnel, they check that constantly. Want to know where the blood pressure is, body temperature, pulse rate. They monitor that. Monday evening, there was a bad accident. I met a number of ambulances and soon discovered that they were heading away from a crash site on 30. A number of people were injured. Road was closed. Big commotion. Why? Why such a big commotion? Well, it was because of life. Life. This country, life is still considered important. So they had a lot of equipment there and they were trying to help the injured. What's more important, physical life or spiritual life? Spiritual life is much more important. But it doesn't seem as urgent, does it? It doesn't seem as urgent. And that's why we can be passive while we have a spiritual, even a bad spiritual health screen and doesn't look good. Yet, we can be passive because it doesn't seem real urgent. You know, when there's a spiritual life stake, there's no one coming with their lights and whistles. And my plea this evening is, if you know in your heart that your spiritual health screen is just not that good, that if you would get a grade on these 10 points, 10 being good, 1 being poor, your numbers wouldn't be too good, and your numbers would be on the lower end. I just plead with you that you see it as an urgent matter. It's an urgent matter. If our spiritual house is not in order, it's an urgent matter. It's an urgent matter. To me, council service is a kind of a preparation for us for when we stand before the judgment seat of Christ. I don't say that because I have responsibility this evening, by any means. It's a heavy responsibility because those of us that have been given responsibility, we will answer before God for the souls that have been under our care. And that is a very sobering thing. thing to think about. But 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10 says, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad." That's Christians, everyone. I think there's some understand that there will be two judgments. This is judgment of the righteous, according to some. I want to study more into that. But the judgment seat, we will all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. So think about that, friends, this evening. Think about that. Each one of us is not if. Each of us someday will stand before the seat, judgment seat of Christ. And we will answer for the life that we lived. We will. It is very encouraging that the one in that judgment seat gave his life for me. So he really loves me. He really loves me. He gave his life for me. But each of us will stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And that is, it's mentioned a number of times in Scripture. God has given that to Jesus. And we will, some moment in the future, be there. And we'll experience that. It's not an if, it is. It will happen. And tonight is just what I would say is a mini preparation. For many, I'm afraid, that miss these opportunities to deal with their life, to get on higher ground, they likely will not change. And they'll likely be in the same state at the judgment seat of Christ. And that's so sad. That's so sad. I don't know your heart. But because of my responsibility before God, my responsibility over you as a flock, I want to be clear before God and make as strongest appeal as I can that you're right with God. That when you come before the judgment seat of Christ, that you can have peace and that he tells you, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of my Lord."